Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wait. You gotta wait. Oh, we know that one, don't we? I had 2 eye appointments this last week. So I got to spend a lot of time waiting. I had to wait in line to register. I had to wait in line to fill out a form. I had to wait in line to get my drops. I had to wait while my drops worked. Then I had to wait on the doctor. Then he spent 30 seconds on my eye and I went home. I don't know about you, but waiting is not one of my great fortes. It's not what I do really well. And I have a feeling by your laughter that you probably are not too thrilled about waiting either. But we do. We wait at doctor's offices. We wait in line. We wait when we're driving. It seems like we wait a lot in line. Well, some people estimate that we spend 70 to 90% of our time waiting between things, you know. And I think there's some truth to that. Well, that's where we are in the church here. That's where we are now. That's what our lessons are all speaking about, is we're in between lots of things. We're in that waiting period. Last Thursday was Ascension. We celebrate the 40 days that Jesus was with his disciples and ascended into heaven. And then they wait. They're waiting on Pentecost, which we will celebrate next week. Wear red, by the way. But they're in between on this end. In between. And you know, it's a bit of a miracle. Now, I know you've heard me preach about the miracle of the fact that disciples showed up on that Easter Sunday morning because they did not know yet that Jesus was resurrected and they still gathered. And yes, I believe that was a miracle. But I also believe it was a miracle that they were still waiting. Because if you read the gospel lessons, you know that that group of guys was not well known for their patience and waiting. Lord, you want us to bring thunder and lightning down from heaven and zap them? Lord, will you reveal the kingdom today? Lord, when do we go into Jerusalem? Oh, on and on. They always seem to be ready to go and not to wait. They didn't want to wait. Even Paul, quick to act today, was known throughout the early part of his life as being a man of action, not of waiting. The miracle is that when the gospel gets a hold of these people, they seem to develop a certain amount of waiting. Because they don't feel any longer they're in charge of the universe or they have to make things happen. And they can be patient and let God. Not always patient, but more patient. And they were able to wait till the right time for the Spirit to come. And this served them well. Because if the traditions of the church are accurate, those 11 surviving, and plus Matthias who's thrown in the lot a little bit later, all get sent around the parts of the known Roman world. And they must learn to deal with people who speak different languages, work in different customs, have different ideas. They learned a lot of patience and a lot of waiting. And the miracle is that this became very, very good to them. Did you notice our second lesson for today? First lesson for today, what really happens? With Silas and Paul, they have this big blow up of the authorities. But it's in the time of waiting. Waiting for the morning, and probably who knows what fate they would face. You can read the story and find out what happened. But it's during that time of waiting, they're busy singing hymns, talking, being. And it is at that time that God works through them to bring the jailer's family, not just him, but his whole household, family, servants, whatever it was involved, into the gospel. In other words, that in between, that time of waiting was not wasted time. It was very productive time. And that seems to be one of the gifts of the Spirit that I'm lacking sometimes, but I'm trying to work on, is this notion of these in-between, these times of waiting, these times of when I'm not doing something or important. If it's true, and I think there's a lot of truth in that, that we spend 70-90% of our time waiting, then a lot of what the work we do with the Spirit is in times of waiting. We wait. We wait for graduations. We wait for summer vacations. We wait for this to happen. Wait for this job. Wait to start this. Wait till we can retire. Isn't it true throughout our lives we spend a lot of our time waiting? And if we waste that time, we have wasted a lot of our lives. But what if those were times that we too were curious about what the Spirit might be at work among us? Not just the big one. It's a little easier. I mean, yes, they're challenging. Sometimes bad moments challenge us. But they also get our adrenaline and everything going. I mean, our systems will kick into times of crisis and urgency. But you can't maintain that. How do you deal with the times of waiting? Do we trust that God is the Lord of all creation? And He does have plans and activities He's doing us with, even when we make no sense to us at all? That is the challenge of waiting. The time of not being in charge. The time when things aren't happening like we want them to. And yet, if we think about it, aren't those the most important times in life? Because those times in between, those times of waiting, are times of relationships. They're times of family, friendships, love, and so forth, are quite often built on those times. Not the dramatic moments. The big dramatic moments happen because we've been practicing what we believe. If we have true values and convictions, they live out through the in-between, the waiting time. And I think that's why these lessons are lifted up to us this day, to remind us that while we may be waiting, we might well in our lives be in between. That doesn't mean that they're wasted times. It doesn't mean that they're not times that matter. Living out the gospel, hearing God's word, loving and caring for one another are important. They're not always dramatic. Sometimes they're very simple. Yeah, the earthquake was a pretty dramatic event. But what really convinced the jailer was when Paul and Silas didn't run out and escape. Did you notice that? It was their faithfulness to hang around that made the real difference. And so too it us. In our world that is so impatient right now, I think we're all so anxiously ramped up about all kinds of things all over the place. Our witness as Christians is quite often in our patience. Now, I know sometimes that's hard. Sometimes justice delayed is justice denied, as Martin Luther King Jr. said famously. And there's truth to that. But there's also this notion that we're not in charge of the universe, and therefore we have to be able to wait and witness and carry on till the times are right. And that those witnesses in those times of patience and waiting will impact the world around us more than we realize, more than we think. Now, when I was growing up, Mad Magazine was big. I don't know if any of you were into Mad Magazine. I don't even know if it still exists anymore. I've lost track of it over time. But I was a big fan of Alfred E. Newman. And I used to have a poster. I lost it somewhere. I wish I could find it. A poster of Alfred E. Newman. It says, "All things come to those who wait, if they work like hell while they're waiting." I want to change that. I want to say, all things come to us Christians because God loves us. But we have a chance to be busy, active, productive way. And the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is at work now. God is not wasting time. So as we wait, let us love, let us care, let us receive, let us try to be patient. Because it's a powerful witness to God's mercy. And yes, indeed, all things will come through God's mercy. Amen.
Amen.